Well, I'm sure some of you were wondering if I'd show up this week, you know, because, you know, once you hit 50, apparently everything's downhill from there. But I am living proof that you can continue breathing after 50. I don't know, but that's just where I'm at. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 139 this morning as we begin a new series this morning. And I'm going to put it out here from the very beginning as we start, that over the next several weeks, these passages are going to challenge us to start praying some new prayers. And I'm going to warn you, they are not easy prayers. These are not safe prayers. They are not benign prayers. They're dangerous prayers. But dangerous in a good way. Not dangerous like a teenager behind a four-wheeler kind of way. I say dangerous because I think most of us would agree, and if we did a general survey among our people, we would agree that most of our prayers are fairly safe. I mean, if we polled, we would get things like, if I asked, what do you often pray for? And we'd get a lot of very standard answers. We, you know, other than just I pray for my meal, we pray for God to bless us, God to help us, and God to protect us. These are good prayers, but they're safe prayers. In that they don't really move us forward toward God in challenging us to engage where He needs us to be. It's kind of like, God, you're God. We recognize that, but you know, here's what I need you to do for me today. And what I want to do over the next several weeks is help point to some of the scriptures that arm us with incredibly powerful prayers where we're going to ask God to do something that will often take us out of our comfort zones. So be forewarned. Today's dangerous prayer is one that David gave us in Psalm 139. And we're not going to cover all of it, but we need to understand kind of what's going on. It's one most of us have memorized at least portions of at one point or another time. But in verses 1 through 6, David begins by stating that God has inspected him and knows everything about him, that nothing is hidden, that we stand open before God. Verses 7 through 12, he expresses that, in fact, not only do you know everything about us, there's nowhere we can go that would be separate from where you are. That he knows, you know, there's nowhere we could run to that God isn't. In verses 12 through 18, he affirms that God created him both in his inward being as well as his outward being, that... And then in this last section of starting with verse 19, it kind of takes an interesting twist in that David starts praying about some people who he calls enemies of God that actively deny God or deny who God is, or, you know, but David labels them as enemies of God. And we don't know why this is all of a sudden in this middle section. Maybe David has been hearing some things where he's been associated with what's going on in these people, or he's been labeled as a part of it. But instead of just saying no, instead of just starting to lay a defense before God of how good I am, David starts to pray this dangerous prayer. Instead of playing the comparison game of, God, I know I'm not perfect, but have you seen that person? David prays this in verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So this morning, in order to help us kind of fully digest what David is praying and to help give us some direction as we move forward, I want to break this up into four little parts. And my hope is that we wouldn't just take this and hear it and say, okay, that's good, all right, thank you, and move on. But instead, that we would take those and take this prayer and make it a regular and intentional part of our own prayer life, so that it will begin to do its work in us both individually and corporately as a body of Christ. So David starts out with this verse. He basically says, search my heart. As I stated, he begins this psalm with a statement that God has already searched him, already knows him. But here again in verse 23, David says, God, I'm giving you permission to check me out. I do it with more intent, God. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And for some of you may sit back and say, well, why would I do that? Why would I invite God? Because, you know, I've done some, you know, why would I want God to search my heart? Because, I mean, I've checked. I've done some informal surveys. I've looked around, and I'm doing pretty good. I'm a good person. Haven't murdered anybody lately. You know, there was that one time I wanted to because the person wasn't driving fast enough, but, you know, that was just that one time, God. But we need to remember that without Christ, our heart is not in a good place. In fact, Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things. That our heart is easily swayed and rationalized and deceived. In fact, I believe that the most common lie is the one that we tell to ourselves. We're really good at rationalizing our life. The issues that we have, whether it be addictions or pride or gossip or hatred, just to name a few things. We're really good about rationalizing, well, it's not that bad. So it's really important for us to start at this point, because the result of sin is a heart that is deceitful above all things. And so we need to go and have courage to come before God, a holy God that is declared holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty. To come before him and say, God, search me. Look what's in here. Look what my life is represented as. Because when we ask a holy God to do that kind of evaluation, let me just say, God will show you things in your heart that are not lined up correctly. And I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm not trying to judge anyone in this room. But our world is messed up. And we've said it before, normal is not working. In fact, we love to say, you know, you do you. We love to say, I'm okay, you're okay. However we see fit to live, you know, you just, whatever. But in order for God to bring us to the point of deeper intimacy with himself, we need to have the Holy Spirit come in and deal with us. Amen. In some very specific ways, so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. So we need to have the courage to pray a dangerous prayer this morning. And every day, Because when left to her own devices, it's easy to rationalize and be deceived. So David starts praying, "Search my heart, God." Then he prays, "Reveal my fears." Verse 23, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Have you ever wondered why that would matter? Why would we ask God to show me what I'm anxious about? Well, to start, you have to, have you ever really dove into what makes yourself anxious? Have you really thought about it? I mean, a lot of times we don't even want to acknowledge that we're anxious. We just think, well, everybody worries about this. Or everybody worries about that. It's just I'm human. But what makes you afraid? And I'm not talking snakes and spiders. But what is it internally that gets you going that way? Is it that you're afraid of a job situation? Is it that you're afraid of what the future might hold that you just can't get a sense of? Or maybe it's that I might do something that I'm going to, you know, that stretches me and I'm going to fail. Or I do something that stretches me and I succeed, and then what? What about afraid of losing something? These are just a few, and I'm just scratching the surface of the things that make us anxious in this life. But it's important because I would argue that what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. I mean, think about that. What we fear the most reveals what we trust God the least. Do I really trust God with my life? With my family, with my relationships, with my finances, with my family, with. So I dare you to pray this prayer. Search my heart, O God. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. But be warned, when you pray this prayer, God can and will often reveal to you things about yourself that maybe you're not willing to acknowledge. Because you just are used to telling yourself, well, that's not an issue for me. I've got this. I'm fine. But when you recognize the area and you acknowledge that it's there, it's then that God's word can begin to speak to us about the root of this anxiousness, the root of the issues. And as a result, then as you hand those things to God and God begins to deal with you, what you find is that experience when you suddenly find the freedom that God can only provide. So we need to be praying, God, search my heart, reveal my fears. But then it gets a little bit more dangerous as we invite God to uncover my sin. Now we're really getting dangerous because it takes courage to pray this. David has already said that there are some in this life that are around him that he acknowledges are living as enemies of God. And now he's saying, God, I see that over here. I recognize they are against you. But I know, you know what? Instead of trying to compare himself to them, he says, check if there's any offensive way in me, God. Show me, God, if there's anything in my life that is inconsistent with your truth. God, show me the things in my life that displease you. See if there's any offensive way in me. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever realized how easy it is or how difficult it is to see your own sin? I mean, it's easy to see other people's sins. fact, we kind of enjoy pointing it out. But when it comes to ourself, we tend to, if we kind of sense it, we kind of excuse it. Because we don't want to deal with it, or at least we rationalize it as we compare ourselves to, well, I may have this issue, God, but have you seen him lately? Have you met so-and-so? And that's why it takes courage to pray, search my heart, oh God, you know, test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's anything offensive in my life as I give God permission to point out any sin that's dwelling within my heart and my life. That in this way that, and this is why this is such a game-changing prayer. Remember, the most common lies are the ones we tell ourselves. So I want to this morning give you three questions that we could be answering or asking ourselves that help us in this process. We pray to God, uncover my sins. We ask ourselves, first of all, what are other believers trying to tell me? And I know this is dangerous for some of us, or we feel it is. This isn't about gossip, and it's not about legalistic rules that people try to adhere and force on others. But have you ever had three or four people that you truly trust, that truly love God and care deeply about you as well, try to tell you, hey, I love you, but I see this area in your life. I recognize that there is something in your life that is needs some work. I see an issue here. And I'm not trying to judge you, but I want you to know because I love you and I care and I see where it leads. Maybe I've dealt with it on my own at one point or another. Because those are the ones we tend to really notice. If that's happening, maybe you should pay close attention. Because the common denominator in those three or four people saying it is you in your life. So pay attention. Second question is this: what have I rationalized about for some time? In other words, yeah, I know it's an issue. It may not be right, but it's not that big of a deal. It's just how I deal with things. You know, this is how I cope. It's nobody's business anyway. It's not really hurting anybody. This is just my thing, and everybody has a thing. Which leads me to the third question is, what am I most defensive about? Areas where I actively declare, don't judge me, back off. I told you, we're not talking about that. And I offer these three questions for us this morning because the reality is that when you have the courage to pray this prayer of God, search me, you know me, test me, and show me if there's anything offensive in my life that as I stand before you, if I have any offensive way in me, well, let me tell you, God is faithful, and whether it be through his word, his spirit, or other believers, God is going to point out some areas that need to be lined up that maybe you've been trying to explain away for some time. God is going to point those to you that maybe you're trying to deny are really an issue. But remember that denying the truth does not make the truth false. But as you submit your life to what God is trying to show you, that he is the perfect holy one. His is the only life that is without sin. That we are not to compare ourselves with others. Our life is to adhere to his. And Scripture says, though, that if we confess our sins to God, that He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and all unrighteousness. So we take those things, we admit them, we confess them, we ask God for forgiveness, but we also need to confess to others so that we can have others praying for us and holding us accountable in the areas where we are trying to grow in Christ. So we confess to God for forgiveness, but we also confess to people for healing and help. This is why having a small group that you are a part of doing life with is so integral and vital in our life of development in Christ. That as we come together in this community of believers, that we're not saying everybody's perfect, we're not saying that we've all got it figured out, but we come together and we open God's word before us and we start to pour His word into our life, that it would change us from the inside out. And we realize that we're a part of this community of God, and I can go and safely say, I need help here. Would you pray for me? Would you hold me accountable? I give you permission to ask me how I'm doing and that I'm going to be truly honest and not just saying I'm doing okay. But that we would have this continual process of prayer, and which always is pointing us to the area where we need to call on and learn to depend on Christ and adhere our lives to Him. But the thing about it is, when we ask others to pray for us, it's mutual, because suddenly those other people that are doing life with us, that are in the Word with us, that we're praying together, they realize it's a safe place where I can support others and I can work on my own imperfections. Because I realize they've got issues too. They haven't got it all figured out. But together, we move farther along. You see, the church is not a place of perfect people, because there are no such thing. But the church is a place where imperfect people are being transformed by a perfect God. Amen. We're all different places in the journey. We're all aiming for the same destination. So the church should be a place where we can acknowledge our faults to one another, recognize that we're all a work in progress, where we all need help. And so we pray, search my heart, God. Reveal my fears. Uncover my sins. And as we continually pray that prayer, what it does is it points me to my need for Jesus and my need for His grace. And it reminds me that my identity must be found in Him first and foremost. My identity isn't as pastor. My identity isn't as husband or father. My identity is in Son of God, child of God. That it's not what people think I am or what they think I should be. That this continual process of prayer is always about pointing us to the area where we must call on and learn to depend on Christ. And that's why this is a dangerous prayer. It takes courage to pray it, because when you pray it, God is going to show you some things in your life. Whether we realize they're issues or maybe we know they are, but we've been hiding them. The amazing thing, though, is there is always grace. And grace, let me just put this out there, it isn't just wiping it under the rug, but it's part of the process of growth. that they're instruments and tools of grace that help shape us into the identity of Christ and draws us near to him, which is, leads us to the very end of the prayer where David says, lead me. God, see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Because when God begins to show me what needs to be changed, he is faithful in the midst of his grace to not leave me where I was, but to help provide a way for me to be made whole in him. And it takes courage to pray that dangerous prayer. Search me, O God. You have permission to look deep into the depths of my life, in my heart. And I want you to show me, God, test me, reveal the anxious things in my heart, the things that I've been trying maybe to not acknowledge, the things that I've been trying to push to the side. Show me the very places that I fear most, where I seem to trust you the least. See if there's any offensive way in me. Not pointing a finger at anybody, God, but I'm letting you reveal to me what I need to hear. And God, give me the grace and strength to adhere my life to your leading. May I follow you. You see, in the early stages of faith, especially if you come to the faith later on in some of your years, you often get the big general things out of the way. We love just saying, God, forgive me. Thank you. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Which is true. But you ain't done yet. We continue to walk with Jesus. His call is unto holiness, not just that point. His call is to be like him. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That as we continue to walk with Christ, suddenly it's the little more specific things that maybe we haven't wanted to deal with that need to be dealt with. And it's often those little things that are often the more difficult things because we like to hide them away. We like to push them aside. And they're often the hard issues that God will reveal, and that's when he points us to our direct need for Christ. Jesus says, I am enough for you. Live into me. And we pray, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need your power. I need your grace. Yeah, I need your forgiveness. But God, I thank you that you love me enough to accept me as I am, but love me even enough and more to not leave me where I was. Jesus, I need your freedom. So when you pray this prayer, God will show you your need. And you may not always like what God shows you, but he only shows you because he loves you. And when you take that need directly to Christ and let Christ meet that need, what you'll find is that God begins to conform you to his image. It's a dangerous prayer, but it's a prayer that will transform your life if you will allow it. So we pray, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Heavenly Father, we pray these words. May they not be just words on a page that is evidence of a prayer long ago. But that may they become my words each and every day. God, I admit, I've been praying these words every day. As I've thought about what I get to have been given to share today. And it's become more about what I've needed today. That God, I too need your grace. And God, if there's anybody in here today that this prayer is beginning its work, may they courageously pray it. May they courageously adhere and open their life to you, whether it be for the first time, where we realize we're sinners before a holy God and we need your forgiveness. Or they've been doing this for years and been a part of the faith for years, but they realize that they're not done yet and that we need your grace and power. Send your Holy Spirit today, Lord. Challenge us. Mold us. Move us toward yourself each and every day, both individually, but even more importantly, corporately, as a body of Christ. May all the churches in this city today sing your praises. May your people recognize you for who you are, that you are a holy God and we are not. God, may we realize that our land is not where it needs to be. Our country is not where it needs to be. Our lives and our communities are not where they need to be. May we be holy evidence of you, not of our own self-righteousness. As we humbly come before you and say, search me, O God. Know me, test me, show me, and lead me. In your name we pray, amen. Go and be the blessing that you're called to be.